College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Butler head coach LaValle Jordan. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by our great sponsor, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, some big picture thoughts after the weekend. We start, obviously, at Rupp Arena, a terrific December game between Kentucky and Louisville. And we learned once again that as Tyrese Maxey goes, so does Kentucky. Just like we saw in the season opening win against Michigan State in the Champions Classic, Maxey was sensational, and his offense carried Kentucky to a major, major victory over Louisville in overtime. Now, Kentucky can't erase its losses to Utah and Evansville, but the wins that the Wildcats have over Michigan State and Louisville will carry a lot of weight on Selection Sunday. Now, what about Louisville? A lot of people out there continue to point to the point guard position as the major deficiency for this Louisville team, and I agree that it is not a position of strength. There is no Peyton Siva at the point for this year's Louisville team. But I do want to point this out as well. Louisville was still able to go to overtime at Rupp Arena with Jordan Wara, its best player, going 2 of 10 from the field with the point guard that it has in its rotation. And those three point guards, Fresh Kimball, Ryan McMahon, and Darius Perry, combined in the game for 11 assists to 2 turnovers. I thought Kimball's offense, only the second time this season that he got in double figures, was really a bright spot for Louisville. Another observation that I'm starting to take away, and it's more of a big picture thought as we progress through the season, you are looking at down years in the ACC and the SEC. Now, I have an index of the 32 different conferences in college basketball and the potential at-large bids that we are going to see in the NCAA tournament, or all the conferences in college basketball. So I look at this scenario, and I see everything as it's taking place, and I see the potential for a down year in the SEC and the ACC, and this obviously isn't going to be a surprise. 15 of the SEC's top 20 scorers are gone from a year ago. 13 of the ACC's top 20 scorers are gone from a year ago. The Big 12 SEC Challenge is huge for the SEC, which did not perform well in the non-conference portion of the schedule. Those games will be played in late January. And another conference observation, the Big East is a beast. It looks like the best conference top to bottom in college basketball this year. 9 Big East teams received votes for this past week's AP Top 25. All 10 teams in this league have a chance to get in. Now, I'm going to include Providence in that for this reason, and people are going to say, how can Providence, a team that's lost to Penn, lost to Northwestern, lost to Charleston, lost to Long Beach State, have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament? I'm not saying that Providence is going to get in the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying that Providence does not have insurmountable work to be in the NCAA tournament, but I am going to say this. Every conference game that Providence will play will be, for the most part, a quad one opportunity. That means Providence 18 times will have chances to improve on the poor start to the season that it has had in November and December. The Big East going into Monday night's conference openers 101-25 as a conference. Now, one of the strong points for the Big East has been the incredible start by Butler and the head coach of the Bulldogs. LaValle Jordan joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Butler has been one of the surprise stories, not just in the Big East, but also nationally in college basketball. Butler will open Big East Conference play Tuesday night at St. John's, and the head coach of the Bulldogs is LaValle Jordan. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And LaValle, happy holidays. How would you describe the holiday season in the Jordan household?
Hey, John, happy holidays. You know what? It's actually low-key. This year, got a few days at home to just kind of hang out, do some last minute shopping, and be around the family. So not as wild as usual.
Now, you're a basketball coach, so obviously you have in the back of your head the gauntlet that is conference play, especially this year in the Big East, looming. How do you balance basketball and family with what is on the horizon being on the horizon?
Yeah, great question. It's you got to trust your staff to do a lot of the work and try to make the time quality when you're at home. I've got a daughter that does gymnastics, and a couple other my other two daughters do soccer and piano. So try to be there when I can for some of their activities. But then, also putting time in for us to be prepared for the grind, like you said.
Well, you got to be prepared if you have a 12-1 record, and that's what you have right now through 13 games. You've been one of the better defensive teams in the country. This is your fourth season as a head coach. I'm curious, what's the biggest difference in LaValle Jordan entering this season running your own program versus maybe your first year at Milwaukee?
A lot simpler, John. So I think it's a lot clearer with what we're looking for. A lot simpler for guys to understand. So now we can just get better at what we want to get better at. So I think that's growth over time as a coach and, staff conversations and discussions over the summers, just trying to get better and being the best that we can be. So yeah, I think it's been more clear for myself and for our players and staff.
Butler's program has always been one that's been so well respected throughout college basketball. And, when you played, Butler was obviously viewed as a mid-major. And then the job that Brad Stevens did, taking it to back-to-back national championship game, changed the perception of the program. But now Butler is a member of what looks to be pound for pound, inch for inch, the best conference in college basketball. For somebody who played in the Bulldogs program, what has it been like to watch the evolution of the program to where it is now as a member of the Big East?
No, it's been fun, fantastic. Even obviously former player and was away from things, and watching, the runs that Coach Stevens' team made and Coach Holtman after, and cheering for those guys in terms of just wanting the program to do well, and then seeing the evolution of things, jumping in there, Atlantic 10, and now into the Big East, and I think that's what. It's what's exciting now, being a member of the new Big East, is it's night in, night out. You're right there with the best of the best in the country, and you see it every night in the league, and we root for the Big East when we're not playing them. But that just a different name in terms of national brand and recruiting and household, being able to make phone calls and people know where Butler is and they know to remember the Big East. And so that resonates across the country.
It's always, something to find out what inner meetings mean within a program. What I mean by that is everybody has certain lingo and it's only something that people inside certain walls can understand. But everybody who's associated with Butler, when things are going in a positive direction, mutters three words: the Butler way. How would you define that?
We above me, I guess, putting the team before yourself, and then holding yourself accountable, to a certain standard, and that's on the court and off the court. So we've got values that we live by and then principles that we try to execute on the court. And I think it's just being heavily accountable to those things. You know, playing the right way in terms of on the court, living the right way off the court, being a great servant and a great teammate.
Butler head coach Laval Jordan joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bulldogs 12-1 through 13 games will open Big East play Tuesday night against St. John's. Now, you are a Butler man, and you played there and you coached there, but you did have a very successful stint as an assistant coach at the University of Michigan, where you worked under John Beilein, now obviously in the NBA. What are the biggest things from John Beilein that you've taken, that you've implemented now with your own program?
Yeah, you know, that time was great. I've been fortunate, John, and blessed, because I've had unbelievable mentors in this profession with Barry Collier, Thad Mata, working along beside Brad Stevens and Todd Licklider and Coach Beilein. You know, just some of the best there are. And obviously, Coach Beilein is phenomenal offensive mind. And so just a lot of the spacing concepts and movement concepts that just taken from that and inserting into some of what we do here to be able to play off of each other. And I think, you know, it's a fun way to play. Our guys like it, and getting ball movement and player movement, kind of being organized in that area. So he was fantastic to just sit underneath every day and watch him teach the game to the players there.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Jeff Meyer as well, who you were with on staff at Michigan and who obviously had a history at Butler and came with you to join your staff at Butler. How would have the transition been for you in terms of being the head coach at Butler if you didn't have Coach Meyer alongside?
Oh, no, certainly a big bonus, you know, for myself to be able to get Jeff to come here from Michigan. And obviously him being familiar with, like I was just speaking of, the offensive concepts and things that we did at Michigan, and being able to bring some of that to the table. Him knowing Butler, being an Indiana guy, having been at Butler before, knowing the fabric of Butler and Butler basketball, and having been a head coach and having just all those experiences, you know, to be able to lean on and when it, maybe I get stuck on, you know, what to do, what not to do. Just having him as a sounding board is such an advantage for somebody like me who's learning their way.
And, you know, you, Coach Beilein, and, you know, Coach Meyer, obviously, were at Michigan when you went to the national championship game in 2013. And if memory serves correct, your team was the fifth seed in the Big Ten tournament, and you wound up playing for the national championship. The Big Ten was, you know, the best conference in college basketball that year, aside from the old Big East, and now you're in the new Big East, and you're seeing, obviously, how dominant this league can be. I'm curious, though, from your perspective, what's been the biggest difference coaching in this league versus coaching in the Big Ten?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, there's some similarities, but I would say there's a difference in terms of pace. And when you get into Big East play, and just some of the, you know, programs are very established now with Villanova and Seton Hall and Providence, you know, that have been around Marquette. And so there's staples, you know, in our league. And now top to bottom, you know, I agree with you, best in the country, where there's no nights off. And so different styles. In terms of, you know, Villanova's a lot different than St. John's, who's a lot different than Xavier, who's a lot different than Providence. So each and every night, you know, you got to be ready for that coach and that program and that opponent, because there are different styles in the conference for each team.
Butler head coach Laval Jordan joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bulldogs with only one blemish so far on their record, 12-1 entering Tuesday night's Big East opener against St. John's. Well, if you've learned one thing in 4 years as a head coach, it's that you really can't pay attention to anything the media says. And that was again proved right when Butler was picked 8th in the Big East preseason poll, and now you've been ranked for a number of weeks as one of the best teams in the country. What was your reaction when you saw an 8 next to your name in October?
I don't know if I had one. It's kind of the same, you know. I think that's one of the things we thrive on. We're chip on the shoulder program, and so you know, it's probably better for us not to be picked. And I think our guys, you know, so it's hard not to pay attention to it if you're a player, because it's everywhere, Twitter and social media, things like that. But it's nothing that we've talked about. It's just, you know, believing in what we have in our locker room and believing in the way we do things, and If we execute it, we feel like we got a good chance against anybody. And our guys have been doing a pretty good job at that so far.
Well, that obviously directly correlates to the defensive end of the floor. And through 13 games, you're only giving up an average of 53.6 points per game. Why have you been such an effective defensive team out of the gate?
Yeah, a couple things, John. I think, you know, one is, like I said, our principles, just trying to be as sound and as we can in our principles. And guys are really committed to it. We've got great leadership from our three seniors that have been around, Henry Badley, Sean McDermott, Kamar Baldwin. They've taken the charge to, you know, be committed to being a good defensive team. Two, I think, you know, adding a few pieces and having more versatility with Bryce Enzi, who sat out last year, and his addition to our, you know, to our team, it gives us, you know, more versatility. He can really move for his size at his position. Christian David has really developed and been a key cog for us defensively. You know, 6'6", 6'7", and he can switch and defend multiple positions. So that's been a huge part of it. And then a couple guys have just gotten better on that end of the floor, Bryce Golden and Jordan Tucker specifically. Just knowing, you know, they've made huge improvements as defensive players. Credit to them, and credit to, you know, Emerson Campen, who comes up with our defensive schemes and game plan. And so, you know, you take those two things and put them together. And then I would say three, you know, when you have Aaron Thompson and Kamar Baldwin at the guards, they're elite-level defenders, you know, on and off the ball. And so that all those three things combined, we've been doing pretty well so far.
Well, Thompson, to me, is right now blossoming into one of the better utility glue guys in the country because of what he's doing with his ball security and what he's doing defensively. But for you to be a team that is in a situation where it can play its best basketball and be a factor late in the year, you need offense out of Kamar Baldwin. He has not played well offensively the last couple of games. How imperative is it to get him back on track for Big East play?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, we're at our best when Kamar's, you know, at a high level. And I think he's been doing other things to affect the game, passing the ball, rebounding the ball. Like I said, defending at a high level. You know, don't worry, he scores and bunches, and that's what he does. And so it's kind of, I think Walter finds his level. He's hit a little bit of a rough patch here, but it's nothing that we're concerned about. He'll continue to take the shots that we want him to take, and shots that he's comfortable taking. And, you know, he's a guy he'll get back on track, you know, sooner rather than later. And I know his teammates trust that, and he trusts that. It's been great for us to have other places to go, though. I think that development has been key for us. With Derek Smith's last game having a, you know, really good offensive performance. Bryce Golden stepped up and had some good moments. Sean McDermott's been really consistent. Jordan Tucker's coming along, you know, where he's starting to impact us even more on the offensive end than he was early in the year. And so, you know, that helps us just being more well-rounded on that end of the floor.
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up Jordan Tucker. You know, you and I talked about him a bunch, you know, as he was sitting out and redshirting after transferring from Duke. And to me, all great teams that have a chance to go deep in the NCAA tournament have a key reserve that can add some pop. I mean, shoot, in 2013 at Michigan, everybody knew about Burke, Hardaway, Stauskas, Glenn Robinson, but you guys brought Caris LeVert off the bench. You had that pop. How big is it to have a guy like Jordan Tucker with his ability to play offense off the bench?
Yeah, no, I think that's a role that he's adjusting to, and he seemed a lot more comfortable in the last few games here, and something that's big for us. Him and Derek Smith and Caleb Battle specifically, you know, being able to provide some punch on the offensive end of the court and then be committed to our defense. So those three guys, you know, they all have the ability to score in bunches, and when they get it going, you know, they can really, really help us.
Well, we transition right now because conference play is coming, and every game in the Big East is going to feel like a round of 32 game in the NCAA tournament this year, but that's a good thing. You play a St. John's team on Tuesday night that obviously has gotten off to a great start. They've beaten St. John's, they've beaten West Virginia, but you're familiar with Mike Anderson's style and system. You played against him in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago when he was at Arkansas. What is so special about the preparation for playing a Mike Anderson team when you're the opposing coach?
Yeah, you know, Coach does a great job. Yeah, for Coach Anderson, and regardless of where he's been, his teams, you could tell Mike Anderson coached teams. And he's, first and foremost, they they put pressure on your effort. They play really hard. And, you know, when we played them in Arkansas a few years ago, you watch them on film now, they play hard. And, you know, Coach, he has high demands just from an effort level and standpoint. So, you know, our guys are going to have to bring it in terms of that. Then they put a lot of pressure on you to take care of the basketball. They press and trap. They extend the court and pick you up in multiple different ways. And really keep you on your toes. So you have to take care of the basketball to be able to have a chance, you know, when you're playing against them. And then you got to get them off the glass. You know, again, it's an effort thing. But they do a good job. He runs good offense. But when shots go up, they pound the offensive glass. They go hard. They're a little bit smaller with this group, so they're flying in from the three-point line and in. So it'll be one of the key things for us is to get them off, take care of the ball and get them off the glass.
Well, ball security is obviously going to be big regardless of who the opponent is. But for you right now, you've obviously seen a team that is just inches away from being undefeated. I thought you played great in the one loss you had against Baylor on the road in Waco. For you, what do you think are the biggest things that are going to be needed to be accomplished for Butler to be one of the better teams in the Big East? And if you achieve that, you're going to be one of the better teams in the country.
Yeah, I think, John, just consistency. Like I said, being able to stay consistent on the defensive end of the floor for us. Stay consistent, you know, with our ability to take care of the basketball. And, you know, we had a little bit of slippage there where we were way above 10, 10, 11, 12 turnovers, which is we want to be 10 and under. So just being consistent in those two areas. And then I think, our offensive production from multiple people. Obviously, there's Kamar, but Bryce Enzi's had performances and Jordan Tucker's had performances. Derek Smith's has had one. Bryce Golden. So just having consistency, you know, on the offensive end of the court where if you have all of our guys, you know, show up every night, we can be pretty hard to deal with on the offensive end, but we have to be consistent down there.
Well, Laval, congrats on a great start. We appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Safe travels to New York. All the best in 2020. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
All right, bud. Hey, happy New Year, and thanks for having me.
We'd like to thank Butler head coach Laval Jordan for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And time now for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from UConn men's hoops fans, and it's John. What does UConn have to do to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament? For UConn, it's about dominating the American Conference. Winning games against Memphis, Houston, and Wichita State is going to be of vast importance. Those are the three teams right now that I have projected to be in the field. Our next question comes from PJ Kelechan, and it's John. What does St. John's need to do in Big East play to make the NCAA tournament? For me, I think if St. John's can get 9 Big East wins and maybe even 8, considering the landscape of this Big East, the Red Storm will have done enough to get into the NCAA tournament. The win that St. John's has over West Virginia after West Virginia's win over Ohio State is going to be huge. St. John's also has the neutral site win over Arizona as well. Now, our final question comes from Kyle Schneider, and it's, John, how many bids can the Atlantic 10 get this year? You know, you wouldn't think this because of how well the Atlantic 10 is performing so far in the non-conference portion of the schedule, but I look at my index and I see two teams, Dayton and VCU, as being in position to make the NCAA tournament. Now, other teams that have played well in the Atlantic 10, Richmond, Rhode Island, George Mason, Duquesne, if they can beat a Dayton or a VCU in the conference portion of the schedule, that would lift them up and give them the quad one wins they've been lacking. But the opportunities for a team in the Atlantic 10 and other non-power conference leagues simply aren't comparable to what you're going to see, obviously, elsewhere in power conferences around the country. Now, before we get to five good nuggets, I want to tell you about Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now let's get to those nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Buckeye Blues. Turnovers are officially a long-term concern for Ohio State. Ohio State had 22 turnovers in Sunday's loss against West Virginia, 71 combined in their last four games. Nugget number two, don't sleep on Baton Rouge. Three of LSU's four losses have come by a combined 6 points. The Tigers also just got Marlon Taylor back from injury. They were 21-3 last season when he was in the starting lineup. LSU is better than its 8-4 record. Nugget number three, Westwood Woes. UCLA is the worst defensive team that Mick Cronin has ever coached. They give up 77 points on Saturday to a Cal State Fullerton team that entered that game with three wins. The Bruins will be fortunate to win any game that they play in the Pac-12. And here's the amazing thing. The players on UCLA's roster have higher accolades coming into college in terms of their high school ranking than any other team that Mick Cronin has had. It shows you how much experience, toughness, and culture factor in to winning. Nugget number four, Marcus the Microwave. I really think that Marcus Howard's production level is being taken for granted across college basketball. He has now scored 30 or more points 22 separate times in his career, one of the best ever to play at Marquette. Nugget number five, Philadelphia Hope. Ashley Howard quietly doing a nice job in his second season at LaSalle. Explorers 9-3 after 12 games. Won 10 games all of last year. They will host Dayton on Thursday night. Game will be seen on CBS Sports Network. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch.
Games to watch. Tuesday, we got two in the Big East. Georgetown at Providence, Butler at St. John's. Wednesday, Marquette at Creighton. And Thursday, Illinois, Michigan State, and then Oregon at Colorado. Ducks number four in this week's AP poll. Since Colorado has joined the Pac-12, Oregon has never won in Boulder. We'd like to thank Butler head coach LaVal Jordan for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.